This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by CruiserMax Vibrant Cereal Seed Treatment for longer-lasting disease and insect protection for wheat and barley seeds, young seedlings, and roots.
Joe V, filling in for Chip. He's out. I don't know where he is. I'm debating on whether or not I should go to my fishing tournament this weekend. My wife is due with the baby like any day. Fishing is very important. It's AgriTalk PM.
Via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with Alan Brugler from Brugler Marketing. And right after the news, Todd Bubba Horowitz from BubbaTrading.com steps up to the plate. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now filling in for Chip, here's the host of AgriTalk from Standard Grain, Varsity Joe Vaclavic. How you doing, Joe?
Davis, how selfish is this unborn third child of mine to even consider just not staying put until my tournament's over this weekend?
Well, now, here's an angle. I've seen photographs of you after a decent day of fishing with enormous largemouth bass.
Yes.
Now, here's your angle. If you can come home with some kind of panfish, I don't know if you've got walleye down there, a bluegill, even a carp would do, some sort of food fish. Now you're no longer out just sport fishing as though you were playing lacrosse or something like that. You're out there
lacrosse,
bringing back meat to put on the table. You know, you're feeding the family. That might be the spin that saves it.
Maybe it will be. I don't know. It's I'm probably not going. It's
the
sad reality of the situation.
This is like your ninth baby now, isn't it? So, I mean, come on.
It's the third and final. markets were mixed today. Corn market tried to sell off. It only finished just a little bit lower. Not a great day in the beans. Cattle were up a little bit. We had some news that I'm sure you're going to tell us about here in a minute. We had some stuff on this new ethanol biofuel deal.
Yeah.
Some more back and forth with China. We had some crush news on the soybean side. Still a lot of weather that's being discussed out there. We've got harvest delays and a very slow harvest, very slow maturities. So there's still a lot to be desired in terms of what we know about these corn and soybean crops. I think in particular, we've got Alan Brugler from Brugler Marketing on the show today. He will be with us after the first break. Davis, you want to go to the news?
I sure do. Well, winter wheat futures firmed above key moving averages, spurring some short covering in today's trade. Rising Black Sea wheat prices are on traders' radar.
Where are the prices?
They're on traders' radar, in fact, Joe. As a Kazakh wheat crop shortfall is pulling Russian supplies off the world market. The impacts of the recent winter storm in the northern prairies added support as harvest has been slowed. However, near completion, U.S. spring wheat harvest also lags historic averages. December hard red futures were 4.25 cents higher, 4.25 1/4. December soft red futures gained 7 cents to 5.14. December spring wheat gained a nickel to 5.50 1/2. Joe.
A little bit better story in the wheat. That spring wheat market, I think, still has a story in front of it. I think crop estimates probably come down. Funds are still very heavily short that market. They're unraveling that deal, and we've had a pretty nice performance here.
Well, after having reached a two-month high, corn futures posted a third consecutive softer close today. The corn market is hungry for fresh bullish news, and the Midwest is expected to see decent harvest weather. Uncertainty surrounding negotiations with China are also on traders' radar, limiting bullish enthusiasm. Yesterday, word from EPA that it will defer to the Department of Energy when considering future small refinery exemptions. Also, limited support. And just a quick programming note, we've got Jeff Cooper from the Renewable Fuels Association on the morning show tomorrow with Chip. So you're going to want to tune in for that, beloved listeners. December corn futures softened 1¼ cents to 392. March corn slipped 0.75 cents to 403 1/2. May corn closed at 409 3/4. Also off 3/4 today, Joe.
December corn very briefly traded above $4 on Sunday night into Monday when we had a trade deal, which isn't really a trade deal. And we've backed off since then. And beans have backed off since then. On that ethanol story, ethanol futures got pounded here the last couple of days. And I think that story that you mentioned regarding the EPA has something to do with it.
Yep, Well, soybean futures were under light pressure in today's trade as traders and farmers alike await more details on the Phase 1 deal with China. China has vowed to retaliate if a measure supporting Hong Kong is signed into law, threatening to sour relations, just as Presidents Trump and Xi mull a signing ceremony on the sidelines of a mid-November summit in Chile. With relations with China in flux, as with corn, traders are without price-supportive news at present. November bean futures were 6 cents lower at 928. Jan beans fell 6 1/4 cents to 942 1/4. March beans closed at 954 1/2, off 4 3/4 today. Joe, on the corn and the beans here, are we just sort of seeing the phenomenon where that bull needs to be fed every day?
Well, we had some negative news here short term. We had kind of a bad crush, not a bad crush number, but a miss on the crush number earlier this week in beans. And then you had this news this morning that the House of Representatives is kind of going after China on a few different matters. I'd still argue the bean market's in bull market territory here. The charts still look good to me, but definitely a setback.
All right. Well, live cattle futures were mixed with higher cash prices adding support, but sources say packers have purchased large volumes of cattle lately, suggesting cash bids may suffer in the coming days. October cattle were $1.35 higher, $112.35. Deese cattle futures 42.5 higher, $113.87.5. And October feeders were 22.5 cents higher at $145.22.5. And finally, on the snout side, after posting a limit-up price performance yesterday, December lean hog futures failed to hold above key moving averages as traders took profits today. The hog market remains on edge regarding the U.S. and China Phase 1 trade pact. Traders will be looking for pork sales to China as the week winds down. December hogs ended the day at 70.62.5. That's down $1.50. Feb lean hogs off 30 cents, 78.85. Joe.
All right, let's go back to Sweet Home Chicago. We've got Todd Bubba Horwitz on the line. Bubba, how you doing today?
What's up, Joe? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. A little sell-off in the row crop markets here. What do you make of it?
I think it's great. I think it's coming back down to some support. I think you're going to see a much bigger move. I think there's going to be a problem in the harvest. I think the USDA numbers are crap. So I think that we're going to see a big surprise. I think we're going to be a big surprise to the upside. As you mentioned, in a week, the big funds are short like crazy. Just wait till they get squeezed out. We see a much bigger rally there as well.
Do you think that so the corn market December futures topped, I think, 473 back in the summer. You think we got a shot at prices that good?
I don't think we'll get this December that good, but I think we get certainly a shot at 425 or 430 before this quarter is over. I mean, you know, we're getting close, right? I mean, obviously, we need some kind of unbelievable news, but I think we've got a chance to see an extended rally going in for quite a while now. So I think the bottoms are in, and I think every opportunity to buy support is where you want to be a buyer.
Hey, Bubba, the stock market's been real strong, I think, all things considered. I mean, you're a percentage point or two from all-time highs with all this China stuff, all this talk of pending recession. Are you a bull or a bear?
I'm a neutral. I mean, as an investor, I'm always in the market long, but as a trader, I mean, there's really nothing to do. It's so quiet. The volumes are about half than usual. I think they're going to hit new highs, and then we'll see what the next move is really going to be. But right now, volumes have been pathetic, and there's been no trade. So there's nothing really to do except watch.
Very good, Bubba. Have a good one. That's Todd Bubba Horwitz, Bubba Trading. I am Joe V, Standard Grain Filling, in for the Chipster today. In our next segment, we will have Alan Brugler from Brugler Marketing. We're going to talk a whole bunch of things. I want to talk about what sort of damage maybe has been seen in these crops as a result of these winter storms, and a whole bunch of other stuff. We'll be back on AgriTalk.
Talking with Dave Byram, Syngenta Seed Care Specialist out of Bloomington, Illinois. Dave, looking at commodity prices for wheat, many growers question whether cereal seed treatments still provide value. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think we need to always take a look at the history of cereals. Cereal seed treatments have always been a mainstay in treating cereals to be planted in the fall. You know, historically, a lot of our cereals are planted from the bin, not necessarily new seed. And we have to ensure that seed's protected because we want to protect the genetic potential of the seed. As we're planting earlier and lower seeding rates, it's important to maintain that genetic potential to realize the true agronomic benefit, because seed treatment is the final piece of the manufacturing process. We want the seed treatment and the seed to be one. As we're planting earlier, we want to protect that seed from pests, whether it be pathogens or insects. And Cruiser Max Vibrant Cereals does that.
Gotcha. Yeah. So what kind of a performance have you seen from the Cruiser Max Vibrant Cereals in Illinois?
When we get into Illinois, I mean, the past several years, our yields have been through the roof at many of the locations where we plant a lot of wheat. We plant earlier, the planting season earlier. It's much more compact with the size equipment we have, and Cruiser Max Vibrant Cereals has been a key enabler to realizing that yield advantage that we've seen go up over the years as our cultural practices have changed. Cruiser Max Vibrant Cereals is the final piece to the manufacturing process. It promotes uniform stand, consistent establishment, and you can see the uniformity as it emerges through the field, which has allowed the farmer to realize substantial yield gain.
Gotcha. Thank you, Dave. That is Dave Byram, Syngenta Seed Care Specialist out of Bloomington, Illinois.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success, like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019 in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
More choices, more money. That's the advantage of the new Bayer Plus Rewards. Choose from our broad portfolio of high-performance products. Earn more money on the eligible products that are right for your farm. And best of all, use our new portal to see your purchases, track your rewards, and decide how you want to use them. That's how we're putting more control in your hands. That's the plus. Sign in and earn big with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit mybayerplus.com to sign up today. See program terms and conditions for full details.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
You can't see them, but they're coming for your soybeans. Pythium, Phytophthora, and soybean cyst nematodes are serious threats, and they require serious seed protection. Valent USA has developed a 1-2 punch defense so growers can take the next step in soybean protection. Intego Sweet Soybeans has four powerful modes of action against insects and diseases that work in tandem with Aveo EZ Nematicide to stop soybean pests and diseases before they strike. Find out more at soybeanprotection.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
Chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Joe V, Standard Grain, filling in for the Chipster. If you want to get a hold of us, hit us up on Twitter, hashtag AgriTalk. Tweet at me, at Standard Grain. I'd love to hear from you. Maybe answer any questions you might have, only if they're good questions, though. Not answering any bad questions. We've got Alan Brugler from Brugler Marketing on the show. Alan, are you there?
I am here, in fact.
Very good. Glad to have you back. I guess we'll start off with this recent weather that we've seen, you know, North Dakota, South Dakota, a whole bunch of snow, freezing temperatures. What is your take on recent weather and its impact on the crop?
Well, there's no question we've lost some crop potential here. Whenever you've got corn that isn't in the dent stage yet or just barely in dent, you've got a frost or freeze loss, and we still had considerable amount of those, even in Iowa and Minnesota, and even down into Missouri a little bit. So we definitely got some losses. We did calculate a week ago what the maximum exposure would be if you had a hard freeze across the entire western half of the Corn Belt. and that was over a billion bushels, but we think that way overstates the actual losses. The tricky part is you've got to look at what maturity state the grain was in, and then you've got to look at how cold it actually got. Corn will tolerate down below 28 degrees before you flat out shut down the plant. Soybeans are pretty much toast at 31. So there were a lot of locations that got the 31, but not as many that got down to 28. The trickier part of this is that it typically isn't making the plant disappear. It's not making the beans or the corn disappear. They're still going in the combine, but your test weights are down, and where you find out how much yield you lost is when it goes across the scale at the elevator. And that may be a month from now or 6 months from now.
So the market, a lot of people would argue, has not really reacted to this or hasn't added in the sort of premium that maybe it should based on the idea of these losses. Is this kind of a show me situation where we've got to see evidence from USDA or from the combines or from somewhere before the market reacts, or is that just not the case?
Yeah, if you look at, I believe it's 2009, 2010 time period, we had a freeze in the upper Midwest, but the market it rallied a little bit on the event, but the big rally was actually in June the following year when the grain stocks report said the bushels weren't there. And I think the reason it took so long in that case is, if you're looking at a bin that holds 50,000 bushel, you think there's 50,000 bushel in, and that's what the farmer's going to say to the USDA survey. But if it's light test weight, if it's only 52-pound corn or 53-pound corn instead of a normal 56-pound, when you haul it across this scale, then your tonnage is below what you thought was in that bin. And since USDA calculates everything as a 56-pound bushel, that means the yield was down. So again, it's hard to tell that's happening out in the field. The bushels are still coming through the combine, and unless you're doing those test weight calculations on the fly or doing sampling, you really don't know what's there. So yeah, the market says, hey, we know there's a problem, but we don't know how big the problem is. And you'll get some acreage loss as well, some abandonment. I know the spring wheat folks are talking about just totally giving up on some of that wheat that was still remaining. I believe we're about 5 to 6% still to harvest there, because the quality was already down. The falling numbers were poor. It was going to be feed wheat to begin with, and now they've got to wade through the snow drifts or wait till the drifts melt to get it. So We'll probably ultimately see a combination of lower harvested acreage and some hit on national average yield.
I know there's a lot of people who think that USDA is just off their rocker with that corn yield number and even with the acreage number too. But given that we've already seen the October WASDE report, is there much precedent here for sweeping production cuts after this time frame?
Yeah, they can still make some changes. The biggest farmer survey is actually the December survey, which is used for the January crop reports. They're asking a lot more people on a factor of two or three times as many people what their actual yield was in that December survey. So if there's problems with the sampling here in the August, September, October surveys, that's where it'll show up, is in that January number. But we've also got FSA still adding up planted acreage and prevented planted claims. Those numbers will change a little bit, not very much. But it is quite – you're incremental in your changes from here on out, but you will still see some yield changes.
Why don't you give us your thoughts real quick on the trade situation with China, and maybe more importantly, just on export demand for soybeans, which has improved with China's return, how the trade war is going to pan out. But what are your estimates for the next few months in terms of, you know, what's possible? What can we sell to China? What are your take on that?
I think you have to look at what do they need? What do they have to have?
And that's a big question.
right? I've done a special research report that we sent out to our farmer clients here a couple weeks ago that basically said that China has to have 6 to 7 million tons of beans from us. They just can't get enough from South America to meet even their reduced demand. Keep in mind, with the ASF and the loss of all the hogs, they really only need 80 to 82 million tons of imports per year, versus high 90s back in the day. So they don't need as much from everybody. But Argentina and Brazil drew down their ending stocks considerably last year trying to feed that Chinese demand. They can't draw the stocks down again. They have to meet the current need out of current production. So it looks like at minimum China needs to buy 6 to 7 million tons. But if they're doing at that minimal level, they're basically going to pay up quite a bit for the tail end of the South American supplies. If they want to save themselves some money, then they should buy more U.S. beans. You know, maybe 10 to 15 million tons. There's been some talk that with the trade deal that they might go back to 30 million tons, which is what they were buying pre-trade war and actually before some of the tariffs they were putting on us before that. I don't see them doing that as an arbitrary decision where they just say we will buy it regardless of price. I think they're perfectly happy to play off the U.S. against South America and be pragmatic and just buy what they have to have and let the market dictate where they get the rest of it.
Do you have any sort of opinion as to how you think this trade war may play out here over the next few weeks? I mean, do you think that this phase one deal is going to become reality? Is this just more talk that which we've seen a lot of over the last year and a half? Any inkling there?
Well, there's certainly a lot of difference of opinion between the Chinese and the U.S. as to what actually was agreed to last week.
It seems that way, yeah.
Which tells you there's probably not a comprehensive deal. I think, again, getting down to the pragmatic, I think both sides are buying some things because they need them. You know, you can say, hey, I'm still at war with you, or I'm still in a disagreement with you, but I'm being nice to you. And when the subtext is, well, I really need those parts, right? So I think, you know, you'll see some U.S. purchases. You'll see some Chinese purchases. Soybeans and pork, obviously. Aircraft parts would be another one China's probably got to have from us. Computer chips to the degree that will allow the firms to sell them to them. You'll see some of that happening on the premise that there's a deal.
Guys, can I jump in here real quick? Sort of on that note, Alan Davis Michelson here. Sorry to cut you off, but we're seeing a couple of situations here that just seems like second verse, third verse, fourth verse, same as the first, not only on the U.S.-China trade front, but also on the RFS now. At some point, the trade has got to be completely worn out with this on again, off again. We're going to buy billions and billions of dollars of U.S. ag products. We're going to fix the RFS and all the waivers and all that. What does that sort of on again, off again thing do to the mind of traders?
Well, if you're a real trader, you ignore it. Okay, there's a famous saying in the markets that says, if you trade the news, you lose.
Okay.
All right. And that's why I'm primarily a technician. I talk fundamentals, but
sure.
When it comes down to do I buy or sell today, I'm looking at the charts. I'm saying, what are people really doing with their money? Because you can get worn out. We've had 13 rounds of negotiations with China now. You've got, as you mentioned, the RFS situation appears to be delay and obfuscate and kick the can down to 2020 or 2021 before you really have to do anything. You know, those, you can't count on it in your supply and demand balance sheets. You go with what you know is being done and try and establish a value for that.
Alan, we're going to run to a break here. That's Alan Brugler, Brugler Marketing. Joe V filling in for Chip. We've got Davis on the show. We will be back with Dan Vaught and more from Alan Brugler here on AgriTalk.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
It's time for Tech Talk here on AgriTalk. We've got Pro Farmer Senior Market Economist Dan Vaught in the studio. Dan, which is the market move that matters the most today?
Hey, Joe, I'm looking at December cotton futures today. The cotton market has apparently been rallying in response to ideas the tentative U.S.-China trade agreement announced over the weekend will spur Chinese cotton imports. The recent December futures advance from the August 26th low at 57.82 cents per pound was seemingly ended by Monday's spike high to 65.85 and sharp reversal, but it's rebounded strongly the last 2 days and ended today's session by matching its highest close at 64.54 since early July. It certainly seems as if it will continue rising, although it likely faces stiff resistance around 65.5. Nevertheless, I'm inclined to think it will make a run toward the 68 area where the 200-day moving average is backed by a long-term downtrend line.
The Fabric of Our Lives by Dan Vaught. If you'd like to see more of Dan's work, check out his go to profarmer.com.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer editor and AgriTalk market analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019 in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Let the proven performance of Prosaro fungicide maximize your grain quality, yield, and profit this season.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody.
What was that?
I don't know. What was that
what
sound?
Was that? What was that?
AgriTalk!
I don't like that.
The AgriTalk men of song. You don't?
No. I don't like it at all.
Creepy,
I liked our off-air life hack from our producer, Carl. And you know what
yes.
it is? I'll explain to it what it
yes.
is. So if your wife takes your nonstick frying pans and ruins them by putting them in the dishwasher, this is what you do. This is how you mm-hmm. fix it.
Yeah.
You take the handles of the pan and mm-hmm. you put them in the ground
yeah.
and then you shoot the pans with a gun.
Yes. Yes.
You use them for target practice.
Perhaps even a variety of guns, you know?
Yeah, many guns.
I hope Mrs. Carl isn't
billions,
listening.
Billions and billions of
billions
guns.
And billions, yes.
Billions. You got a quick market recap for us?
I sure do. Well, December hard red futures were 4.25 cents higher at 4.25 and a quarter. December soft red futures gained 7 cents to 5.14. December corn futures softened 1 cent and 1 quarter to 3.92. March corn off 3 quarters to 4.03 and a half. Novi bean futures were 6 cents lower at 9.28. Jan beans fell 6 and a quarter to 9.42 and 1 quarter. On the livestock side, October cattle $1.35 higher, 112.35. October feeders 22.5 cents higher, 145.22 and a half. And December lean hogs ended the day at 70.62 and a half, down $1.50 today. There's your quick market recap. Back to you, Joe.
Thank you much, Davis. We are back with Alan Brugler from Brugler Marketing. Alan, I wanted to start off with corn demand, which is terrible. Why is it so bad?
$4 corn.
That's it?
That's the bulk of it. I mean, yeah, we've priced ourselves out of the market. The market's trying to ration presumed shortfall in production by keeping the price considerably above a year ago. In fact, if you looked at cash prices last week, they were at a six-year high for the first week in October. So corn is high relative to history. It may deserve to be high or even higher, but that is killing demand. We do have competition. Ukraine has got a record crop, and they're aggressively selling it into the world export market. You've got Argentine producers trying to dump all of their corn before the election. They've got an election down there, and Macri is thought likely to lose to the Peronists. When Madame Fernandez and her buddy get back in power, they're likely to put an 18 to 20% tariff back on corn. And since corn trades at the world market price, that means the farmer there gets 18 to 20% less for his corn. Translation, sell everything you got now before the election. So, we're having trouble with corn exports, particularly ethanol story's been talked about in some length here. We are producing less ethanol right now, therefore using less corn per week. That doesn't have to be RFS only. I mean, that's the big market. But should we get a deal with China? It's supposed to include, or allegedly includes, ethanol. They do have an E10 mandate. They don't have enough production to meet it. That would be a way to get that corn use back up for ethanol. But right now, it's not there.
Now, from a seasonal standpoint, and maybe this shifts a little bit because harvest is delayed, but we should start to see some better export demand here, shouldn't we?
Yeah, last year was not a good model because the Brazilians had had a crop shortage, their second crop corn had had some problems. So we got the world market to ourselves, Sepok Nov, last year, and had really strong sales. Last spring, Brazil had a record crop, the second crop, the summer crop, and they're still exporting that right now. So, yes, that'll start to go away, we think, sometime in November. We'll have more of the market to ourselves and the Ukrainians, and that should start to see corn exports pick up. We've got a window here, November, December, January, February, that we need to have big sales if we're going to get them done on the export side this year.
So given the fact that, you know, like you said, corn's kind of expensive here relative to what we've seen in recent years, does that cap any rally attempt of significance in this corn market, or is there something else that could drive a better price?
Well, I think it makes it difficult, given the narrow window, it makes it difficult to get back to where you were in the summertime, to back in those 450, 460 numbers. You can do it, but it's a really short, narrow window. What would change it is a drought in Brazil. All right, we know they've been dry at planting time. The soybeans have been going in late, which means they'll be late coming out and late planting their double crop corn, which means it'll be more vulnerable to any summer weather during the dry season. If they miss a few key rains, it'll hurt them. So there's a possible story there, but that's a 2020 story, and I don't think hope makes a particularly good marketing plan. So I think you have to say yes. There are things that can get us back to $4.50 or $5. The best combination, the most bullish combination, would be we end up losing 400 or 500 million bushels out of this snow and freeze event, and then we end up having problems in South America that juice our exports. If you get those two together, I can put a five in front of it. But without those two feeding on each other, it's pretty tough.
Now, in the soybeans, on the demand side, you've got a little bit better situation here, I think. Exports have improved because China's back in the market for now. We didn't have the best crush number for September, but there's some maintenance and some downtime during that month sometimes. Do you think soybeans is a little bit different story here?
Yeah, I think the big difference is that we're coming out of the hole instead of going into it. When we were sitting here a year ago looking at billion bushel potential carryouts, cash prices with an 8 in front of them, that implied futures 750 to $9. All right, now USDA last week raised their cash price to $9 for the year. That was a 50-cent revision because of the tighter stocks. Stocks are back down to 2 years ago level, and if we were to knock, say, another two bushels off the yield because of the crop problems in getting the stuff out of the field, the freeze damage, et cetera, now you're talking potential for 10 and a half on, or maybe even $11 on high futures. All you need is a little help from South America. So, sitting here at 9.5, looks like chart resistance right now, but in the macro picture, we may only be 50% of the trading range.
I did mention that to Chip yesterday on the show, actually. I said, last year we were staring at a billion bushel carryout, and this 9.5 was kind of the upper end of the range, essentially. And now you're going to cut the carryout in half, essentially, year over year. So I would venture to say that maybe the upper end of the trading range could be a little bit better than that, and that's kind of what I'm hearing from you also.
Yeah, I think we're definitely looking at a higher range just because the stock's usage ratio is tighter and the cash average price is therefore tighter. It's just and by the way, our techno fundamental range for beans projected the low within a dime of the low we've actually seen using 9-10 mm-hmm. cash. So that looks like the low, like a reasonable low for the fundamentals that we know about, and we need to explore the upside of that range over the next couple of months here.
Have you done much pencil work on 2020 acreage? I know a lot of people aren't thinking that far ahead, especially with this messy harvest that we've got, but do you have any preliminary thoughts there?
Well, yeah, any number you see is garbage, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's garbage in, garbage out. It's the old program.
It's too early to matter.
It's too early. It's our job professionally as an analyst and advisor to come up with estimates. I did run the new crop, that is the red nov corn-soy ratio this morning. It's 2.37 to 1. And what that tells you is it's neutral corn versus beans. Last year it was very heavy corn. Got down below 2.0 for a while, and the result was we probably were trying to plant 100 million acres if the weather would have let us. I don't see that happening this year because that ratio's back into the neutral zone. If it were to get up to 2.5, I think you'd see a fairly substantial swing back to beans simply because of the crop rotations. But right now, yeah, I'm thinking today I'd have to go with another 2 to 3 million, 94 million to 95 million corn, and then a rebound in bean acres because of the stocks usage ratio is a lot better, inventories are tighter, and crop rotation dictates it.
Mm-hmm. What are you hearing currently or recently? Do you think farmer attitudes have improved at all, or do you think that guys are just preoccupied with harvest right now? I know that during the last few months I've done some work with that ag barometer that CME puts out, and it's just attitudes were very poor, sentiment was very poor. Do you see things improving at all here, especially with this little rally in the bean market?
Well, anytime we get a rally, we get more phone calls. Yeah, so there's definitely a sensitivity to, hey, this is a little better day today, that sort of thing. I think they're in tough it out mode, frankly. They're very preoccupied with harvest right now. If the ground's dry enough to go, you got to go. And if it's not dry enough to go, you got to be making sure your equipment is in tip-top shape so that when you need to go, you can. So that's number one focus. And they're encouraging the market to go higher. At some point, they'll have to sell for cash flow or whatever. But for the most part, they're just toughing it out. I did visit with an ag banker last week. He says there's about 10 or 15% of the guys that are under some financial stress. Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to say they were all going out of business, but they need higher prices or better yields.
Very good. Alan, thank you so much for being on the show. You're one of my favorite guests. Thanks for doing it. What's the best way to get a hold of you if somebody has questions about what you said on the show
well,
today?
Call me on the phone, 402-697-3623. Send me an email, Alan B, A-L-A-N-B, at Brugler, B-R-U-G-L-E-R, M-K-T-G, that's short for marketing.com, or visit our website, www.bruglermarketing.com.
Alan, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon. That is Alan Brugler from Brugler Marketing. I'm Joe Vaklavic filling in for Chip today. We'll be back with Davis on AgriTalk.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Three, two, one. Oh, no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
The mighty Prosaro, king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it the keeper of grain quality and yield. The hammer of head and leaf diseases. The number one reducer of scab. When your goal is greater wheat quality and higher yield, use Prosaro fungicide. And the crown of higher profit will be yours. Learn more at prosaro.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you are able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com now.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have ARC County right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Is that you playing the bass while you talk?
It is me playing the bass, actually with my feet, because I've got to hold my news pencil in my hand. And it also occurs to me, the reason I'm playing this song for you, this may be your new theme song if you go out fishing this weekend.
What's a news pencil?
I'm afraid I can't talk about it. Trade secrets, my friend. Trade secrets.
If I host the show like 100 more times, I'll get a news pencil.
Maybe. Yes, maybe. Maybe. It's where thoughts and pragmatism spring forth freely. The news pencil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was put very eloquently. Very nice. Very nice. You know, the tables have really turned here. The soybeans have the story now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They really do.
John Doe's got the upper hand. It's changed. It's all changed. I mean, you know, like a year or two ago, it was corn as the story and the beans. Oh, China, no demand. Beans, terrible. And now it's the beans are the ones that got a shot at $10.50. That's what Alan said, maybe upper end of the range. And I don't disagree with that. I think it's doable. Not a guarantee, and it probably won't be easy. But things change in these markets.
They do, and they need to. I mean, obviously, we would prefer markets that change and move around to markets that don't. But it's interesting that you bring up that magic $10 figure. That's the second time it's come up this week. Yeah,
it's very magical. You just add that extra digit on, and things start to happen. You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, what happens in the event we hit $10?
Some guys won't sell anything because they'll say it's going to 12, and other guys will make some sales.
But
everybody will be happier. I would think at least momentarily.
Well, that would be a nice change. Although out here, I guess in my experience, you know, there's not a whole lot of gloom and doom, more uncertainty and concern than gloom and doom, I would say.
But I would say that uncertainty or concern and concern are constants, because nobody ever knows where the markets are going.
Sure.
I mean, nobody is ever certain about that. Now, this is a different sort of environment than what we had maybe, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago, where it was all profitable and it was all gravy and you could make money just by selling it, really no matter when you did it in the marketing year. And now it's like you got to really kind of pick your spots, because there are the market's been trading these ranges where, you know, the lower end of the range is not profitable, but the upper end of the range may be profitable. Much and trickier. Grain marketing is much trickier these days than it was 3, 4, 5 years ago.
Back in your day.
Back in my day. Do you know that I actually got into the business right in like 2005 when the ethanol thing started?
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
So that was my day.
And how do you
2005 through like 13, that was my day. Now it's somebody else's day, I think.
No, you're fine. You're still on top, baby.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But anyways, yeah, it's changed, and markets are cyclical, and we'll get back to markets like that eventually. Is it next year or is it 20 years from now? That's the question.
Boy, that's...
Will you still be 7 feet tall when it happens, or will you be 9 feet tall? Or will you have shrunk with old age?
No, I just continue to grow. I'm like a toenail. I just keep
growing.
You're
Andre the Giant. You're Andre the Giant.
I heard that guy could... Yeah,
you can crush a keg of beer in one sitting.
Exactly. He could just pour alcohol into himself. And I don't know if it was his inner pain or if he just, you know, some people say I'm not an alcoholic. I just like beer.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know.
I think it was his inner pain. I think he was deeply disturbed.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause,
I would be too if I wouldn't stop growing. Jesus.
Yeah. But, you know, he was in The Princess Bride. You got to give him props for that.
Oh, he should have won an Oscar for that.
It's not his fault being the biggest and the strongest. He doesn't even exercise.
You know what we didn't talk about today? The U.S. dollar's backed off a little bit. And that is typically a positive.
All right.
We were still very much in uptrend territory, the dollar. We have been since we bottomed back in early, say, 2018. But we've backed off by, 2 or 3% from the highs that we saw back in just early October. So that's a positive, and we've seen a little bit of strength out of some of our competitors' currencies, your Brazilian currency, your Argentina currency, your euro currency, and that is typically a positive for your row crop markets and for your wheat market. That is one thing we did not touch on today.
Can you go, and I don't know if maybe I'm asking you a question that you don't necessarily know the answer to, so if I am, I apologize. What's behind strengthening currency in Brazil and Argentina? What's the mechanism that's supporting that?
I think it's just a recovery because they were basically at all-time lows for a long time. And to recover a couple percentage points after the massive disastrous sell-off that we saw is probably not a big deal. I mean, overall, you know, U.S. dollar is king.
Right.
Now, the conspiracy people would tell – not conspiracy. The Bitcoin people would tell you that it's all worthless and it's all just a bunch of paper, you know.
But you think they're kooks.
I have some Bitcoin opinions. We'll talk about that on another show.
Okay.
We'll talk about that on another show.
I'm cautious.
I'm a Bitcoin guy now, I guess.
Kind of a little bit. This is fascinating.
Bitcoin.
And an excellent tease for next time.
Yeah, I could really go down a wormhole. Long story short, I met a guy who's been involved in it forever, and his thesis on it was very, very convincing. And I was convinced.
Huh.
Partially convinced. I used to think it was crazy.
Are there those who would argue, because there are others like you who think it's crazy with the Bitcoin stuff, that's actually where the free market is expressing itself in the most true and pure form?
That would be part of the thesis. Do we have time for a tweet of the day?
We got it. Today's tweets are brought to you by, let's see, I don't have my thing up here. Here we go. Farmers feeding farmers. It's no small order to keep farm country fed to the good that very struggle yields some of the best meals in the world. And now today's tweets at M. Jigger. Skittle-fed beef is da bomb. Cattle are great digesters of human feed byproducts. At Bunky Perkins, walking into a Waffle House that serves beer must be what walking into the Double Deuce was like. And finally, at DFaber84 Parenting, where you make a 35 dinner plate of salmon, asparagus, and mashed potatoes, only to beg your kids to take just one bite. There you go, Joe.
I know that struggle. I know.
Yeah, that struggle is real, isn't it?
My kids are getting a little bit better, but one of them is still not very good.
Yep. Well,
anyways,
feeding nine kids can't be easy.
Oh, it's not nine. Thank you for joining us, everybody. I think Chip's back tomorrow.
Yo.
Joe V here with Davis. We had Alan Brugler. Good show. Do it again someday. We'll catch you later on AgriTalk.
Thanks, buddy. AgriTalk.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and MakeSafe.
Thanks to Syngenta, producers of CruiserMax Vibrant Cereal Seed Treatment, for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer today about reserving your supply for 2020. Always read and follow label instructions.